Streaming live from New York City throughout the world, this is MLB Radio.
It is Around the Minors with Mayo. I'm Jonathan Mayo. 2 weeks have passed. I was at Cape Cod for a couple weeks, mostly for vacation with the family, but also to check out some Cape League action. And on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about that. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk to Steve Weissman, who has written a wonderful book about the Cape called Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, a Celebration of the Cape Cod League. Radio at MLB.com, MLB Radio Live, the instant message screen name. And we're going to move right now to our next guest, so people are listening in. Be ready, because joining us right now, as I mentioned before, is the author of Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, a Celebration of the Cape Cod Baseball League, and that's Steve Weissman. Steve, welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Steve and I met when I was in the Cape last couple of weeks, and I saw him at a Hyannis Mets game, and then again very briefly at the All-Star game in Hyannis on Saturday. Steve, tell me first off with this book, and actually before we get anywhere, I want to let people know I sort of talked about this at the top of the show. First caller, and the number is 800-431-0734. First caller into the show, we'll talk to the producers, we'll get a free autographed copy of Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, Celebration of the Cape Cod Baseball League. So get that in right now. And we'll take care of that. Further, I know that you're a Massachusetts resident. You spend a lot of the summer in the Cape. What prompted you to put this book together? I know that you've done a lot of work with some of the Cape Cod leagues in terms of marketing and things like that. But tell me a little bit about the synthesis of this project.
Well, the short of it is, as I like to tell people, if you love the Cape and you love baseball, what else would you write about? I spent all this time going to games and just really grooving on it, as they would say, because it's just such an incredible experience, the family setting, the fact that the players in the game are so accessible, it's virtually free to go to. And the more games I went to and the more involved I got with my sons going to one of the team clinics, the more time you spend talking to other parents and other hangers-on about how great it is. And I realized after a point, not only was I speaking in paragraphs, I knew a lot of the answers to the questions that they were asking me about where the players came from and where do they live when they're here. And so the idea sprang relatively fully formed just about 2 years ago now. Popped into my mind, gee, well, why don't you write all this down? There's clearly interest. And lo and behold, here it is.
Steve Weissman, our guest. You can go to theballyard.com if you want to check out this book. And it looks like you covered just about everything from the history of baseball in New England to the history of the Cape Cod League to specific players who have come through. I know baseball in Cape Cod has been around for a very long time. When did the Cape Cod League really truly cement itself as the premier summer college baseball league where scouts come, regularly to really evaluate players, particularly with the wood bats? About when did that start happening?
Well, I'd say the mid-80s. I mean, baseball on Cape Cod gets traced back to the end of the Civil War, believe it or not. There's a scorebook I've seen where Cumaquid is playing Barnstable, I believe, in 1867. I mean, it's ridiculous how far back it goes. But in the mid-80s, the Cape League made the decision, after 10 years of playing with aluminum bats, to go back to wood and sort of get back to the game at its purest. And it was pretty much at that point, I think, it emerged from the pack of other leagues. Alaska was the big league at that time, as far as college summer ball goes. It was about then that it emerged. They had a high-quality level of play. Corey Snyder was probably the first highly touted West Coast kid to come east and play. All the teams are pretty close together geographically, so it makes the scouts' life easier. And since then, it's been, I think, pretty much a fairly steep uphill measure, if you were to plot it on a graph, about the reputation that it enjoys.
Before we get any further, I want to go to line one. We do have a caller. It's Jason from St. Louis. Jason, first time listening to the show, and you win yourself a book.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Did you have a question about the Cape League while you're on, or was it just the allure of getting a Steve Weissman autographed copy that got you to call in?
No, actually, I do have a question for Steve. My question is, who are some of the most famous players to come up through the Cape Cod League?
Oh, gosh, what do we got left? We only got about 13 minutes left, right?
Just name a few. And Jason, stay on the line, and after we're done with the question, the producers will get your address and everything so we can get that book sent to you.
Well, all right, thanks.
The answer to the question, I mean, nobody has that kind of thing. Thurman Munson played there. Nomar Garciaparra, Frank Thomas. I mean, we're talking about the real deal here. Sean Casey, Eric Milton. One of the players said to another while I was doing the research in the book, two guys from the Hyannis team, Chris Robinson, the catcher, and Mike Costanzo, pitcher, first baseman, they were talking. They said, you know, we're here and we're playing with future major leaguers, only we don't know who they are yet. And the other one says, no, we're playing with future Hall of Famers and we don't know who they are yet.
So that's a good point.
When you look at the roster of names, you go, wow, this is quite the all-star team.
Yeah, it does go on and on. The one guy that a scouting director mentioned to me when I was there was Jeff Bagwell, especially in terms of the effect it's had for Northeast players, you know, in cold weather climates who don't get as many looks during the season or no looks at all. One scout mentioned Derek Lutz from this year's team as a guy who has sort of put himself on the map with a good Cape season. But Jeff Bagwell is a guy, he said, you know, people of that year, well, he was there for two seasons, really thought that maybe it was just a down league and didn't think much of him. Of course, he turned out to be Jeff Bagwell.
Right, and part of what makes it possible is that because it does attract some of the top players around the country, when the Cape League season starts, a good portion of those players are still playing in the College World Series. So there's good opportunity for players to come in on a temporary basis at the start of the season, and those that can make an impression can find themselves on a full-time roster somewhere, and the sky's the limit from there.
Steve Weissman is our guest author of Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, a celebration of the Cape Cod Baseball League. Let's go back to the phones. Seth from Brooklyn, welcome to Around the Minors.
Yes, thanks for having me.
What's going on?
I had the pleasure to meet Steve a couple weeks ago at a Chatham game and was fortunate enough to receive an autographed copy of the book already. So being the second caller is okay with me.
Well, I'm glad.
For the autographed copy to caller number one. However, I do also have a question. First of all, Steve, excellent book. I really enjoyed reading it.
Thank you.
A couple of the things which I found most interesting were the fact that many of these players also work as they're there over the course of the summer playing ball. Would you speak to that briefly, as well as the social aspect of the summer? You also mentioned that there's a large group of, I guess, groupies, for lack of a better word, who follow these players quite closely. Could you also speak to that briefly?
Yeah, sure. It is one of the more endearing qualities of the league, I think. That the players come primarily to play ball, but they're still college kids. They still need to earn a little pizza money. And so the vast majority of them do actually have jobs. You can go to the local Stop and Shop deli section, and it may be the guy who hit the game-winning home run last night who's slicing your bologna for you.
Careful, this is a family show.
I'm sorry?
I'm just go ahead. So
a family show, is that what you said?
Yes.
Well, yeah, and I guess that takes us to the social aspect of the question, doesn't it? it is to a certain degree as portrayed in that movie, Summer Catch, although that clearly was over the top. You know, being that kind of a movie, you would not be surprised to hear that. But, yeah, you know, whether they're, you know, preteen, ooh, look at the cool athlete, or high school kids who sort of look up to the next level of guy to catch, or hangers-on like us who just love the sport and see the future of the sport on the field before us, you do find rather loyal followings, either with insidious motives in mind or not. And it's great fun. You take my 10-year-old son, for example. You know, there are 13 or 15 guys now that we wrote about in the book last year that have since signed professional contracts and are on a minor league roster somewhere. And however tenuous that connection is, it is an extra connection that you can't really forge once they make the majors. You don't have that opportunity for closeness. But stories abound of players writing their phone numbers on baseballs and pitching them into the stands in the hopes the right girl picks one up and the phone rings and there's an opportunity for a movie date or something. One of the funnier stories was one where a player gave a ball to the ball boy to give to a girl in the stands, and the ball boy gave it to the wrong girl. So it has its pitfalls as well, I imagine.
I'm sure it does. Steve, we're almost out of time. I want to let people know, in addition to the free copy Jason will be getting, and I'll pass that information on to Steve so he can get you the copy of the book. If you, what's the best way to do this, Steve? If people email info@theballyard.com, is that the best way?
To get hold of copy?
Yeah. I know you have the whole order form, but I want to let people know that if they mention Around the Miners while ordering, that you'll throw in a 10% discount.
Probably the thing to do, go to theballyard.com.
Right.
There's a buy now button that takes you to PayPal, and in the little space where you can add a note, make a note that you heard about it on the show, and I'll arrange for the appropriate rebate to be applied.
There you have it. Mention Around the Miners and at theballyard.com. And I think we may have lost Steve there, did we? Well, we did. We're out of time anyway. That's Steve Weissman. And the name of the book is Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, A Celebration of the Cape Cod Baseball League. And I was amazed to see the amount of people at a regular season Hyannis Mets game even, and they're the worst team in the league this year, and pretty good crowd there. Then the All-Star game had close to 4,700 people there, and this is a high school field, so they were all around on the grass, and I mean, it was just a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere, and the community part of it, as Steve spoke to, and that's all in the book, the history, the camaraderie, all of it in the book, Beach Chairs and Baseball Bats, so go check that out. My thanks to Steve and to Scott Beer, who joined us earlier in the program, Dan Gentile, Vinnie Micucci, and the gang back in New York. Coming up, we've got Staying Hot with Seth N. Bone. Bill Madden from the New York Daily News, Fred Manfer from the Orioles broadcasting team should be there, Diamondbacks broadcaster Ken Phelps, as well as MLB.com's very own Barry Bloom will join us. That's about it for me. It's good to be back. You've been listening to Around the Miners with Mayo here on MLB Radio.